Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Most of my videos will be about travel or understanding various locations. But in this special series, I'm focusing on a part of Quebec Canadian history that is near and dear to my heart, the story of Les Filles du Roi, or the King's Daughters. In this series, I'll be focusing on individual biographies so that we can get to know as many of these amazing women as we can. Please let me know in the comments below if there's one Filles du Roi in particular you are interested in, and I'll try to move her to the front of the line. And please don't forget to subscribe to the channel, click on the notifications, and like this video. That helps me out. Let's get started. Now, Les Filles du Roi was a program started by Jean Talon, the intendant of New France, in 1663. To know more about this program, please check out my video called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0, and that'll give you all the ins and outs of how the girls were recruited, what happened once they were, once they got to New France, what happened, all the above. So I would heartily recommend that you watch that video just to get a sense of what these young women had to go through. Now, who are we going to be looking at today? Today, we're going to be focusing on Marie Charpentier, who is actually my 8 times great-grandmother. Marie was born in 1655 in Saint-Étienne-du-Mont in Paris, France. Her father's name was François Charpentier and her mother was Marie Gâteau. Again, these great names, Gâteau meaning cake. Imagine having that as a last name. Saint-Étienne-du-Mont is a church in Paris, France, on the Montagne Saint-Geneviève in the 5th arrondissement near the Pantheon. It contains the shrine of Saint-Geneviève, the patron saint of Paris. The church also contains the tombs of Blaise Pascal and Jean Racine. Jean-Paul Marat is also located, buried at the church's cemetery. The groundbreaking of this church was actually in 1494 and completed in 1624. The 5th arrondissement of Paris, also called the Pantheon, is one of the oldest sections of Paris, and it is also situated on the rive gauche of the river Seine. It's notable for being the location of the Quartier Latin, a district dominated by universities, colleges, and prestigious high schools since the 12th century. Can you imagine? The Sorbonne is here. It's also home to the National Museum of Natural History and Le Jardin des Plantes on the eastern part. The 5th arrondissement is also one of the oldest districts of the city, dating back to ancient times. Traces of this area's past survive in such sites as les Arènes de Lutèce, a Roman amphitheater, as well as the Thème de Cluny, a Roman therma. So amazing, amazing history. Gotta see this, gotta see this. So the 5th arrondissement, as you can see on the map, just locate the 5th. That's kind of where it's located. This is an old image of the church that I found, and also now today in today's viewpoint on the upper part of your screen. Now, Marie left for New France at the age of 16 and arrived in Quebec aboard the Prince Maurice on the 30th of July, 1671. Also aboard that ship were Elisabeth Pietel, featured on video number 12, and Marie-Antoinette Lefebvre, featured in video number 25. Again, I wonder if they hung out. Again, I know it's silly, but I like the idea that my great-grandmothers might have gotten to know each other on this trip. Actually, Marie-Antoinette Lefebvre was not my great-grandmother, but she was one of my best friend's great-grandmothers. So even better that our friendship had such a historical connection. So they were like hanging out, and here is me and my best friend hanging out, and who knew? So I love that idea. So who did she pick? Well, she picked Pierre Gendron de Gendron, who was born in 1643 in the parish of Saint-Genard, arrondissement Niort-Poitou. He was the son of René Gendron and Catherine Blais. Niort, the town, is is featured in the Deux-Sèvres Département in the Nouvelle Aquitaine region of western France. The town lies on the slopes of two hills facing one another in the left bank of the Sèvres Niortaise River. Above its estuary, it grew up in the shelter of a 12th and 13th century castle erected by Henry II and his son, Richard the Lionheart. The two square towers of this castle keep, this castle keep, dominate the river. Niort became one of the two centers of Protestantism in western France and suffered severely after the revocation of the Edict of Nantes in 1685. The 15th and 16th century Church of Notre Dame stands south of the castle. You can see how old it really is. And the 16th century former town hall is on the opposite hill. It is obvious that this was not a great place to grow up because of all the battles, because of the Protestantism and the, you know, the battles between the Catholics and the Protestants. So I suspect Pierre wanted out, and he arrived in Canada in 1662, most likely a travailleur, an engagé, as they called it, who would have been an indentured servant and then been, you know, worked off his amount of money that he owed, and after 3 years would have become an independent person living in New France. The notary Jean Cousseau officiated the contract between Pierre and Marie on November 11, 1671. I've not been able to find the marriage record nor the location. The contract was signed at La Parade, which probably means that they were married there. However, Saint-Anne de La Parade was not yet a parish. I went looking for some sort of information and stumbled across a wonderful website called Community Stories by Digital Museums of Canada. I have indicated the link below in the show notes. So it's just an amazing website to have a look at that. So Marie and Pierre settled down in the newly formed community and eventual parish of Saint-Anne-de-la-Parade and would be among the first pioneers of the region. If you recall in video number 8, we talked about Françoise Aubet and Michel Roy. They were the very first landowners. But a mere short 3 years later, Pierre and Marie would join them. I wonder if they ever hung up. You see, I'm obsessed with how do they connect. Let's get to know Saint-Anne-de-la-Parade a little bit, shall we? Saint-Anne-de-la-Parade is located near the mouth of the Saint-Anne River and along Route 138, which is also known as the Chemin du Roi, a historic road, that travels from Quebec City to nearby Montreal. The story of Saint-Anne-de-la-Parade begins in 1603 when Samuel Champlain, on one of his voyages, names the river Saint-Marie. It would be called this until the 1660s, when it was then changed to the Île de Sainte-Anne. I mean, look at that history, okay? The first seigneur was a man named Michel Gamelin, who was awarded the land from Jean Talon, the intendant of New France. This was around 1667. By November of 1668, he recruits a prominent tenant, our own Michel Roy, dit Châteauroux, and his wife, Françoise Aubet, featured in video number 8, to be the first true occupants of the land. Michel Gamelin would sell his shares to two men who would eventually share the seigneury for a time, and then eventually Pierre-Thomas Thériault de la Parade, the son of one of these two men, and hence Saint-Anne became Saint-Anne de la Parade. Here's an interesting note. Pierre-Thomas happened to be married to a Quebec heroine, Madeleine de Verchères, who at 14 years of age had defended her family and village from an Iroquois raid, and she became the seigneuress of this place and actually ended up her days here. Really interesting footnote. The centerpiece of the town is the Saint-Anne-de-la-Parade Church, a Catholic church over the banks of near the banks of the Saint-Anne River, modeled after the Notre-Dame Basilica in Montreal. I have to tell you, it's the world capital of tommy cod fishing, whatever. This is what I keep reading about. During tommy cod season, generally from late December to mid-February, I think, thousands of tourists come to St. Anne for ice fishing, and a small fishing village is built on the frozen waters of the St. Anne River that bisects the town. Remind me never to go there during that time because it would be crazy. So The following year, the 10th of July, 1673, Pierre Cartier buys another land from Jean Pouzet, who had started stripping the land, and a newcomer to the seigneury, Pierre Gendron, buys a concession from Claude Sauvageau, a neighbor from the neighboring seigneury on the north side. This concession contains a house and a stable, which have been no doubt built by Claude Sauvageau. I share this with you to indicate how deep the research dive can get. Not only did I discover that there was for a time another seigneury next to Saint Anne that was called Saint Marie, I cannot stress enough how fabulous Internet Archive can be. Never know what you will find. So remember this, internetarchive.org, amazing, amazing website. And I've included the information on this exact book in the show notes. Les premières seigneurs et colons de Sainte-Anne de la Parade. And all of that information will be in your show notes. Amazing, amazing. Look at that. All right. So now we turn our attention to the family that they created. They had four children. Jean-Baptiste was born in 1673, and he married Mary Anne Presseau and had 13 children, 11 of whom made it to adulthood. An interesting note about Marie Anne is that her mother was also a Feijoa and also named Marie Charpentier, although her middle name was Reine. We will be studying her in the next video. Marie Ursel, who is my direct great-grandmother, married Charles Vendy, and they had 14 children, 12 of whom made it to adulthood. Charles Vendy's mother was also a Feijoa, and she is Marie-Marthe Merte, who will be featuring shortly. Antoine married Marie-Charlotte Leroux de La Fantaisie and had 11 children, but only 6 of whom made it to adulthood. And then we have Renée, who married Nicole Leriot de la Fantaisie, yes, that was the sister of Antoine's wife, and had 16 children, 14 of whom made it to adulthood. Just amazing to me, I don't know how to describe it, but just how many children they were able to produce. Their procreative talents, shall we say, amazing. Marie Charpentier died on the 28th of May, 1713. Upon reading the burial record, it actually notes that she did not receive the sacraments because she died suddenly. So finding and reading the death records and the burial records are so very important, because now we know that she wasn't dying, she just all of a sudden dropped dead. Obviously, they did not have any clue. Although Marie's life was cut short, she still had almost 42 years of marriage with Pierre, a wonderful achievement for a 16-year-old who had been thrust into new land and having to make a new life. Pierre remarried another Feijoa, Marie Lefebvre, but did not have any other children with her. He passed away the 11 years after Marie Charpentier in 1724. They are both buried in the old cemetery of Sainte-Anne-de-la-Parade. We'll be featuring this Marie Lefebvre in a future video coming up as well. And so ends another story. And with that, I bid you adieu, and we will see you for video number 31 very shortly. Until then, au revoir.